keep you too long. I just had several things I wanted to ask, and I really appreciate very much your letting me come by and talk to you.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a little background first about you. You told me you were born in Union County.
Yes.
In the town of El Dorado, or out in the country?
Huddick, Arkansas.
Huddick, Arkansas. Little small town.
Small town. You have three different names. You know that.
Yeah. I just didn't remember the name of the town. Mm-hmm. And
I one day to get to someone town of Huddick, Arkansas.
Right.
I mean, all that, every whole information.
All right. But then you came to Little Rock before you met Elsie?
No, I went to Memphis Church. And just after that, we went to Memphis Church. And I had dad's friend. Went to Memphis, and I married a big company. My husband and I came to the line.
You met him in Memphis?
Well, I met him a long time. I met him in Huntington.
I see. Mm-hmm. But what year did you get married?
I got married in 1941.
In 41. Mm-hmm. Did you move to Little Rock about that time?
Yeah.
Because you started the paper that
and
year.
And May of 94.
Well, you must have come here with the idea in mind to start that newspaper.
Well, yes and no. My husband had and probably had an idea. And we went up with my mom. Father passed. He left me some money, my mother's son. So I had my money. My mother kept the money for me.
I see.
Until we married. And Elsie had the money. So we put the money together and bought the newspaper, bought a plant.
Yeah.
From the Methodist minister.
Yeah.
But I think he had an idea, but I didn't.
What did you think you were coming to Little Rock for?
Well, that I don't know. My friend told me it was a nice town.
Uh-huh.
And it was better than so we came. But really, I have no idea why.
You didn't particularly want to stay in Memphis?
No, I wanted where he wanted to go at that point.
Okay. And what can you tell me about the way you remember Little Rock when you moved here in 1941? What was this town like then?
Oh, it's calm, as I remember. My merchants are getting house and my. Nobody was pushing for anything.
Nothing happening.
Nothing happened. So, as long as the dingo was doing what they were supposed to do, that was fine.
Mm-hmm. Could blacks vote at that time?
No.
In Arkansas, anywhere?
No.
And you couldn't serve on a jury, you couldn't, none of those things.
No,
of course, all of that is just out of the question.
Yeah.
Do you remember meeting any people outside of Little Rock during those years, or for that matter, anybody in Little Rock, black or white, who, as you think back on it now, had the vision or had the sense that segregation was the thing that had to be changed? Or is it just the case that nobody really thought of that much then? It was out of the question.
Well, did I meet many people outside of Little Rock? that had the same idea. I've had a lot of people in the newspapers. But segregation is not a question, if I remember. The Publishers Association and what have you, but when the Supreme Court ruled at that time, you know, they were shooting down, they killed a couple in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Some people because they wanted to vote.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to vote. No interest. They want to vote. They would lead the movement to vote. Okay. So we would do a container. A lot of people go by the visit. They can't vote up in bed. That never happened.
Yeah. But nobody talked about getting rid of segregation. That was just beyond question, wasn't it? I mean,
that was absolutely beyond the question.
Yeah. I want to get on the tape some of what you told me about Edith May Irby. You told me this wonderful story about her coming in the cab to your place and needed $50, and her father had told her if she really needed something, she ought to come and see you and your husband.
She said today in the speeches I've heard her that we were husband-like. The reason that she would have to motivate her, and the kind of person she is, but she was a wonderful person in Stava.
Yeah. Now she finished the medical school here four or 5 years later, however long it takes.
Yeah.
And then where did she go to practice?
Well, she practiced in Hot Springs, and I forgot how many years she practiced in Hot Springs. But she moved to Houston,
Texas. And she's still in practice?
Yes.
Is she married?
Well, she's married. My little seven children, let me see. About four, I think.
Well, what name does she go by?
Edith Irby Jones.
Edith
Irby
Jones. Irby Jones. Edith Irby Jones. Is her husband a doctor also?
No, he was in education. Uh-huh. He's dead now.
Uh-huh. I may try to get in touch with her because I'd enjoy talking to her, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's a wonderful girl.
Yeah. And Jack Shropshire, you said, went up north someplace around Gary. Is he a lawyer? Did he finish the law school?
Yeah, he finished law school.
Good. And as far as I know, and I believe I'm right about this, they would have been the very first two blacks to graduate from
law. Well, Marlon Branson, I think, was the first.
Yeah.
The Bombayan Brown.
I don't know of any other state in the South that admitted any black students before
to graduate.
Why do you think that happened? You know,
that's why I was so surprised about 57. Even I was surprised. Arkansas had a kind of a liberal element. There were rednecks but the other people were different.
They were always here. There were some, weren't there?
Right. And we had more people. And we had the rank segregation. And like Margaret Buddy from Dirty Richard came from New Zealand, Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi. Well, they were new-handed. They got more people from out of town that I had in Arkansas.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But somebody at that university must have decided that they would rather do this voluntarily than to go through some big hassle with the courts.
Probably, yeah.
Who do you suppose that was?
I don't know. I
think that was about the time that Governor Rainey was governor. Maybe not.
I forgot who was governor at that time. But he's entertaining.
I remember Rainey was a bad number. He was. I mean, Arkansas has had some pretty good governors from time to time, but that guy was—he was terrible.
He was terrible. This is some of the pictures.
Well, these are the Central High photos. Yeah. You've got a great collection of things here.
Your daughter's at Central High.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a famous picture.
Yeah, that's...
And who is that with you?
Uh-huh.
Who is that?
Oh, Dallas. She is the puppet of the State Press. I saw the puppet of her.
Uh-huh. And she's still running it.
Yeah. And look at that. That was probably, we were there.
Yeah.
We were in the school at that time. There were my.
Golly.
And that man died from that cancer.
He did?
Today they died.
Gosh. Well, what a thing this was. It's hard to believe this ever happened, isn't it? That's a great picture there.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you moved to Little Rock in 41?
Oh, after summer, I'm back at, I'm a 75 now, and I have to do some work.
You started the paper in 41. Can you think of any racial incidents that stick out in your mind between 41 and 57?
Well, yes. The murders, I wrote about one.
Uh-huh.
In the book, Sergeant Forrester. And there were so many atrocities that could have been committed. It's hard for me to remember all of them. But Sergeant Forrester's case, I wrote about that. It was so plain. I wish we would let them. When the Negro was standing around like that, and the guy was shot, you know. Well,
what if that high school thing never had happened? What if Governor Faubus hadn't done that? Would there have been another thing to set this off, or was that just sort of an accident that never should have happened?
You mean
in Little Rock? Just as far as Little Rock is concerned, you know, some towns never had any big trouble.
That's a pretty. It was unrest. And the Negroes, by ground of the king and minister like that, he had the ability to We had fugitive leaders. They killed, they usually killed the leaders. So everything happened at some of those places about the time, because the address was over there, the whole country.
Yeah.
And each the man, the couple that were killed in Louisiana.
Right.
Okay, but for this day, border registration drive among the roads. Somebody else would need something bigger. I think it was a tie.
Yeah.
And that were young Negroes, like King Martin, educated Negroes, who were concerned about what was happening.
Especially after the war. Especially after the war.
Yeah. After the war, had it.
Did L.C. go in the service?
No. They lowered the... How did he get out? He was scheduled to go. And the age didn't have something to do it.
Changed the age,
yeah.
To the thing.
But...
Right after the war, say from about 45 to 50, a lot of people I talk to think that maybe, just looking back on it, it seems this way, maybe it didn't seem this way then, but that was kind of a golden opportunity in a way for the South to work out some kind of voluntary social change, because everybody, all the white people kept saying, if they'll just leave us alone,
yeah. We
can work it out. And there were some people during that time who were trying, I think, to do that.
Oh, were sincere.
Yeah.
Not enough of them.
But they just couldn't get it together, could they?
No, they couldn't get it together. There were too many against them. And that way of segregation is a way of discipline by people.
Did the institutions fail? The churches, the professions?
They did everything. They burned churches on, but they churches were burned them for it. I've gone to church to speak there in Congress and Barry. And the pastor was like such a knee. Scared.
But I'm thinking about white churches. Did they fail here?
Yeah, they did.
They just didn't, they couldn't exert any moral authority, it seems.
No,
they failed to be able to do it. And the press ultimately failed. It didn't.
And because I'm trying to play in a small way to buy it.
Yeah.
I think we came out the more but central. But back in those times, though. No, they were doing nothing.
They couldn't do it. At the same time, though, I've met a lot of black people who recognized way back then what needed to happen, and some of them were saying so.
Mm-hmm.
Even as early as 1938, 39, 40. I know, and nobody heard them.
Yes,
you know, I mean, they didn't have any
influence
or any platform to make an impression.
Right.
And yet, don't you think people knew? I mean, white people, black people, everybody had to have known deep down in their hearts by, say, 1948 or 50, they had to know this couldn't last.
Well,
or am I mistaken about that?
We talked to a lot of people from Sumter. because I'm just going to rain constantly. And a lot of people who wouldn't dare say out in public for comments and respect, my daughter behind Southern Scottish Center. We don't feel that way. But I didn't find out what was happening in school.
But they didn't have the courage to do it.
It was like they had no platform.
Yeah.
And they kids just cry and they go about the business. They wouldn't get involved one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was really, this was a terrible country to live in at that time.
It was. And until the Brown decision came along, you didn't have any real, did you have hope that, that something was going to break?
I think that we had hope, but had nothing to back us up.
Yeah.
And the Brown decision came along. And that was the first thing, at that time, that was the first time the federal government had been involved.
If they hadn't come into it,
but
nothing would have happened, would it?
Yeah, of course. But it happens to me. Sometimes it's going to result. There's the war, the change, and the ideas. A lot of people wanted to do something.
Yeah.
I could tell them by central.
Knowing all that you know now about the way things finally turned out, can you think of anything that you could have done any differently way back then that would have...
No.
I mean, I can't imagine how you could have done any more than you did.
Yeah.
You just had to wait for something to break.
Right.
And the whole idea about separate but equal, I mean, it amazes me even now to see how desperately white people hung on to that idea. And even right up to the time Brown came out, Mississippi was passing, and several states were passing laws to try to build up the black schools and make them equal. What a joke that was.
That was pathetic. We still paying and on the one that born. We got schools now. We got this special schools.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to educate now. But that I went, what about the kids? What about all the others? About to be deprived.
30 years.
Yeah.
It's been 33 years.
And the fourth decision was back at 18-something,
mm-hmm.
when the South and North made the Great Compromise.
Yeah.
The Negroes was on the way, the country's gone. But they wouldn't have come back, but it's been 100 years.
Yeah.
And they turned them up. No, we would teach that the children at Barkford.
When did Mr. Bates die?
1980.
Did you know Brownie Ledbetter's father? Can you remember? He was active around here. I wish I could think of his name.
I knew him. But what happened at that time, I wanted a person to stand up and come. Or you could, we can find anybody to do that.
Yeah.
But, Mr. Rogers of newspaper man, not a red dog. It's just bad. Johnson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But Beverly. And he said the group went to him. And then you had this time you could do something with the Negroes. That they just stop it. No one can get today, the Bates and Bates's. So I would get it, Dave, if they could put my stuff away. Then they would have a chance. If we're going to a grape and I gotta get that, we gotta get ready for it, you know. So this guy called a meeting. A friend of mine, a bright friend, came and took us and said, let's tell him Johnson and to do this. They had to ask him to do something. He said, what can you do? Well, then, open something. But anyway, he called a meeting at the Brian MC. And I was home that day in the morning. And I hadn't gone to the office. I'd been to spot it up the cackover.
Mm-hmm.
And he got on the telephone. He was a very friendly person. And he called all the Negroes, got Negroes to call Negroes, leaders he called. And they met at the by ABC. And so a friend of mine, they got there, didn't see me. He's the doctor, he was the doctor, he's dead now. He didn't see me, he said, why did Debra miss your feet? So he eased out and went and used the phone. And he called off and said, no, she's at home. So he called out here. And he said, do you know we have a meeting out here in 5 MCA? Why MCA? I said, no. And he told me what was happening. I said, okay, why can't we not be there? So I walked in there. He was kind of sitting down a second. They were all around. He was talking. Well, same old thing about, we're going to do this, but I get you, I'll be, and I'll give it whoever is going to lead this thing, and I will have help. We got people to help entry this time. We need time. So by that time, I walked in the office and stood by me. I looked up and put around the meeting. And I got the puppy tent out there, so they were somebody kind of shit. And I moved right out. He was kind of sitting down for me. So I moved to sit that little bit back in the cold. Hey, that killed his spirit. I went back and after the meeting had, and he went back and told the white people to sit down. He said, I can have them. This is gettable.
Oh.
We can't do it there. But if we can't do it there, let's do the right thing. This grand doctor, the provost, they talk to people who get this mob in here.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's what we need to the first thing we need to do that. He don't know.
Oh,
nice. And that was the eye on the pile.
Yeah.
But many, many things happened during that time. That was small thing, but it was courageous things.
Yeah.
I was talking to John Blaine. They put his bunches guy down, and we were in a meeting. And he said, they said, that man there, yeah. He said, he's young. He said, they said nothing during the crisis. He said, now they were doing, but they didn't do it. They were scared.
Yeah.
He didn't reach, he said, he didn't put on my food to be frightened of what the white people.
Yeah.
But he said they were.
Harry Ashmore. What about Harry Ashmore?
He was hinted when he could. He was a consultant to see if some died conductors. He went and talked to one of his right performers and speeches to her. And he went on, they were friends. This happened. He went and talked to Forbes. So, no, he was tired half, but by the suffocations. So, he washed sand off. But he was a nice guy.
But you felt like he was badly compromised when this happened?
Yeah. I had to display the kind of what I wanted them to do. He knew, but he called me and told me, he said, Daisy, I talked to what we were talking about, what was happening to the time. It's the most important thing that I know. I'm, you know, educating people. I told me, if you'd give us time, We would put this. I said, how much time, Aaron? It's been 100 years I've been in that all my life. But he said, well, I'm telling you just what to say. And when one point he said, well, if they get me one or two, I said, Aaron, no. And I said, but you mean Colossus's life is anyway precious. And I said, we go to Miss Kalana, and she had lost. So we said, can't do anything with it. But they tried. They started getting boycotted because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
They spent me in the whole town. And this time they couldn't buy it because of the bond had.
In the earlier time, do you remember a black man in Arkansas, a black man named Lee? His last name was Lee. Lee.
Lee. What did he
get? I think I've been given mistaken name. Somebody mentioned to me that there was a guy whose last name was Lee, and he was active in voter registration before Brown in Arkansas. I don't believe that's right. I can't find any evidence of it.
I don't know.
That doesn't ring any bells with you.
My husband filed a lawsuit against the state. But he was just part of a movement we were trying to get. The moon on different months from South and Central. It's out of another area.
Right. Doesn't ring a bell.
I don't know.
Okay. Those were the main things that I wanted to talk to you about in that period. Pre-Brown. I wonder if...